Hey, got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio, and in the studio I've got a councillor, Lisa Thompson. Morning, Lisa.
Morning. What a beautiful morning it is in paradise.
Let's talk about civil defence, because there's some action, a group forming, which I seem to be part of.
That's exactly right, because you are the comms coordinator and the bringer of the 101 of the Centre of Truth. So it's great to see, and as we were saying earlier, you know, Bob McLeod would be so proud and so enthusiastic that finally we've got a revised civil defence community response plan, and that we are forming a group of people who are really keen to activate a welfare centre should that be required when something does happen in our community.
Yeah, yeah, and we've been getting instructions from Scott, the council. So what's his title? It's not civil defence manager. It's resilience, something or other, probably.
Community response and resilience manager. That's actually not his title, but I can't think of it.
You were fooled with a title like that. I've got to say, like, my hat's off to him, because I've seen several people come and go in that role at the council and nothing seemed to happen. He's actually made stuff happen. So he's a good one, I think.
And he actually
I hope the council looks after him and keeps him, and he doesn't feel the need to leave.
Oh, and we definitely try and do that. But, you know, he comes from an extensive background of, you know, for the fire and emergency services, where he was working as a firey, but also in that civil defence space. So he comes with a lot of experience, and he's very passionate about that. So he comes with a lot of skills and knowledge in that area, which is really beneficial to us at council and to our communities. And he did mention how many communities want community plans, and I think it was something like 40 plus.
Yeah, I couldn't work out where they all were. I checked that they were all in our district, and he said they were.
They are all in our district.
Must be some quite small little places.
Yeah, that really want to build their resilience in the face of any civil emergency event. And, you know, we've just had one recently, and it wasn't actually civil defence. We were, as in council, we were supporters in the background for the Te Kauwhata Whangamareno fire.
Oh, the wetland fire. Yeah.
Place. And, you know, and that was a really good example of, because my fellow councillor, Councillor Raimati, Marlene Raimati, who is the councillor for the Whitikahu Wairanga ward, which includes Te Kauwhata and that area where the wetland fire was happening. And she's also a volunteer fire brigade person. She's in the operational support. But, you know, she identified, you know, with the volunteer fire brigade, you know, the civil defence or the community response team could step into providing, you know, food, providing support in that capacity for the volunteer fire brigade. So that was really good to see and to hear of how we could support the emergency services as a community in that space. Because, you know, the purpose of a community response is really around the welfare to the community, and civil defence is activated when there is a danger to life and or buildings. So that is when civil defence is often activated, and then the community comes in support. But we do have the opportunity as a community response group to set up a welfare operation should we feel that is needed. We don't have to have civil defence as an agency to do that on our behalf.
Right, we don't wait for them to tell us. Yeah. We decide.
We can assess their
need. And we tell them, hey, we're doing this, and they'll just keep an eye out.
And they'll keep an eye out and provide us with support. So there's a top-down process, and there's then a flax roots process from the community.
Well, we might get told.
Yeah, it depends. It's an up and down sort of structure. So that's really exciting that we've got that. I saw you pointing at your monitor.
Can you read those words?
No, because I haven't got my glasses on.
Can you read them now? John Lawson found that in some agenda aerodrome workshop. Closure of airfield to be in the long-term plan.
Oh, yes. We've had that. That was our workshop looking at closing the airfield and the options of doing that. So taking, returning that back to the Department of Conservation, changing the designation from an airfield. Looking at all of those options.
But that's happening alongside the return of the land to Mana Whenua as well, is
to
it?
To the original landowners. And so, you know, that is also a process. So how can we do that as the body that currently has the designation to run that area? So looking at all of the options of how would that be best returned? Are we better suited to taking the designation of an airfield off there and returning it back to the Crown, and then the Crown makes that decision and works with Mana Whenua? And my understanding is that Tama Pōtaka has met with the whānau and the hapū representatives in October, so those discussions are ongoing.
Who is Tama?
Tama Pōtaka, the MP for Treaty Settlements for National.
Ah, okay, right. It's kind of like a car crash where you don't want to look, and I feel like that about the government. So I don't know who all their people are at the moment. Yeah, it's a bit embarrassing.
As council, you have to know. We need to work with the right groups and the right agencies in the Crown. In this instance, I mean, we're the face of the Crown, I suppose, for want of a better descriptor in this, because we are the local government and we're the face of it. And currently we own the land, so to speak, in want of a better description. And so we want to ensure that the handover to the rightful owners is done properly.
Okay, all right, so that's...
That's been and gone.
That workshop, yeah.
In October.
But that's, I mean, does that mean it's just going to happen now? That it's going to cease to be an airfield in 2025?
Yes, there's that, well, not sure if in 2025, but that process is underway.
So
we have to engage with the community as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, that it's part of that process that we've been undertaking for a number of years.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yep. All right.
And so it's exciting. So it's a long-awaited that return to the rightful owners, and when that does happen, it would be a cause of celebration.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Next on the list, wastewater discharge info evening, Tuesday, 19th of November.
Yes. So that's. I mean, this is another opportunity to celebrate in a way, you know, because this has been a long journey, even longer for hapū, who have been in opposition to...
Multi-decade, isn't it?
Yeah, multi-decade since the first... when the resource consent for the discharge and the outfall out at Wainamu Beach took place, it has been contentious for hapū and for our community with the wastewater treatment discharge into the Moana. So, you know, it's been a multi-pronged approach since 2019. So it certainly hasn't been a quick road to get us to this point, but from my perspective, being involved in it, it has been very thorough in terms of investigating options, looking at a whole suite of things from, I think it was a long list of options.
Yeah, there were possibilities now, and options.
Now the most, you know, we've got the $26 million upgrade of the wastewater treatment plant, and that's well underway. But
is this evening to talk about land-based treatment?
It's to talk about, well, it's to give a context of what has taken place, what we are doing, sharing with the community the work that's been undertaken at the wastewater treatment plant, and also the preferred option of the land-based discharge to Wainui Reserve.
Okay.
So it's exciting. So I really encourage the community to come along to that. And that's happening on the 19th of November. Also what's happening as well, which will be starting hopefully next week, will be drilling work on Wainui Reserve in the gully where the proposed discharged, land-based discharge would be taking place.
So that's so
it's exploratory.
Engineering investigation.
Yeah. Yep, and it's exploratory. That's looking at that area, at that particular gully. So if you see drilling there, it's not for iron sand or anything
or oil.
Like that. Or oil. It's actually undertaking the necessary investigative work in that area. So we can have all of that information with the design, which will influence the design of that land-based treatment.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. But obviously that won't happen really – it won't happen overnight. So we've had it staggered with the wastewater treatment plant upgrade is happening. That will be completed in June 2025, and it's well on schedule for that to meet that, and then the land-based discharge won't be for another 3 years or so after that. So it's a long process, but it's happening, folks. And whilst we're looking at the land base, the wastewater, the treated wastewater coming out of the upgraded and the new, I should actually say new because it's a completely new.
Yeah, I've seen it. I saw them when they were like they were working on the footings when I was there. So you know it's new. It's brand new.
It's brand new, and it's actually a whole really state-of-the-art technology that's taking, you know, that's being put in place there. So the wastewater treatment actually really, once that's in, is one step away from another treatment to be potable water. So that's
it does
the
raise
quality.
The question. I know the question's now in the air. If it's pulling out water that is, because the engineer said all you would need to do is chlorinate it and then it would be officially classified as potable water.
That's right.
Do we need to do land-based treatment for water that is that clean?
But the thing is,
or land-based disposal, I should say.
Yeah, land-based disposal. I mean, that's something for the community to decide. I can't speak to that, but it is sometime in the future, given what we see in terms of climate, how can we utilise that water if it's one step away from being potable?
It's definitely usable for irrigation, isn't
for
it?
For irrigation, yeah. For other opportunities. You know, so that's a conversation that we need to have. But again, for people in our community, I encourage you to come to the Raglan Club on the evening of the 19th of November at 6 p.m. to join us to listen to where we've been and where we're going in terms of our wastewater treatment plant and then the discharge of the treated wastewater to land.
That's a Tuesday night, folks.
That's a Tuesday night. So please come along to that. There will also be other opportunities to have a tour and the opportunity to drop into Wainui Reserve, where that option for the land-based treatment, so people can see where that is, and also opportunities to visit our wastewater treatment plant as well. And just saying that we received a national award on our wastewater treatment plant at Te Kauwhata because it's the first in New Zealand, and ours here in Whangaroa will be of a similar build to that treatment plant as well.
So we want to, well, these other councils are going to be lucky to work with us for the Three Waters plans for the future.
One would think so because we have had that. But, you know, we've had the expertise of Watercare and we've got them until 2028, which is great.
Are there any updates? I know that all the options are on the table at the moment. That's what the Mayor said. That's what you've said. Everyone said that. Is there any progress, or are we saying
in the background the
discussions are ongoing?
The discussions are ongoing in the background, and of course we have updates, and I'd have to look at my diary when our next update is on the Three Waters, but you know that's a work in progress, and we've been lucky that we, and I've said this many times on the show, Aaron, we've been lucky because we've been in the space for a while now with Watercare. So we understand that the advantages of having a specific entity that provides our Three Waters services as opposed to being in-house to council.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. So that's that story. Now, during the community board meeting the other week, sort of 2 weeks ago, you probably didn't see me, my eyes were like wide open because a council staff member was there to talk about some kind of plan for our community, like a strategic plan or a structure plan or a town plan or some kind of plan. Anyway, no promises were made about exactly what form it would be, but I watched him sit there taking notes as the whole community board was offering him suggestions about issues that needed to be addressed
and,
through
and
a plan.
Issues through the plan, yeah, because it's the update of Waikato 2070.
The district plan.
And
oh, no, it's not that. Sorry, no, 2070 is not the district plan. That's just a plan.
No. But
it's a long-term
yeah,
plan.
Yeah, it's the 50-year plan, and I think we did that 3 years ago, maybe even more.
Doesn't seem that long ago. I think it was 2020, though, because I remember, yeah, I think it was 2020.
2020, gosh, that goes quickly, doesn't it? So, you know, 4 years ago, or whenever it was that first came out.
You don't believe me, do you?
Oh, I do believe you. Look, sometimes, yeah. Time is going faster and faster as we get older, Aaron. Mm. And to the rest of the community, I'm sure others have noted that as well. But with the 2070 plan, that is the council's, I guess, almost in a way, a crystal ball of how our communities, where the growth is going to be. And the community board at that time when we first went out fed into that. And so the feedback that the community board were giving to James Fuller, who attended our community board meeting, was around looking at where we can open up more commercial space in the town area to allow more to happen. And the suggestions were, would it be between along the corridor of Wallace Street, given that we've already got the wharf and we've got where there are the galleries down there, and then we've got town, and then we've, you know, on Wallace Street we have the lights of the herbal dispensary, so we've already got commercial activity. So would that be a sensible place for it to be? So the community board were very much in alignment with pushing for that, and also opening up more industrial space for opportunities, not just at Nomai, but where could that be? So that was a lot of the focus of the corridor that was happening.
Mm. And I wasn't allowed to, but I wanted to say, and affordable housing needs to be, it's an issue the community's facing.
It's an issue for all communities, isn't it? And I think, I mentioned to you earlier, I had a discussion with Axel Beck, who was the one of my colleagues previously on council, and he also was with the Waikato Regional Housing Initiative as well as the CE for that for a period of time. So he's very passionate about housing, and as you are aware, Aaron, we adopted our housing strategy at council earlier this year. So I spoke to him earlier this week about, he asked me how we're going with our strategy, and so I need to get an update. So the housing strategy, the district plan, and Waikato 2070 all feed into that wider picture of what affordability looks like in our communities. And I mean, if we had the golden panacea for that, we would have housing that people could afford to buy.
Well, it's an economic issue that's at the government level to solve. That's my opinion,
but I'll argue
with anyone about that.
Yeah.
But
you won't have any arguments or opposition from me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But at a local level, there are things that can be done, and small section sizes are one option. Apartments, allowing for apartments or multi-story.
Yeah.
Which people will be throwing things at. Actually, there was a lady sitting behind me, and I think you were talking, the discussion was about pushing shops over into James Street or something, and this lady behind me was going, no.
because I think she lives in John Street.
Yeah, she lives over that way. But that's going to be, that you're going to get that reaction. I know people out there will be listening to me blithely saying all these ideas, and they'll be thinking no.
But they are discussions we need to have. We're a growing community.
That's why I'm talking about
where
it. Yeah.
We have you know, spaces in the CBD that have been priced out of people's range to actually have retail spaces. So, you know, we do have to have these conversations because our community is growing, and we can turn a blind eye to that and not look at it and look at it in a forward time where we are no longer here, but it will be our children and our grandchildren that hopefully will be living in this community. So we have to be visionary enough to see a place where they belong, and well, that's with affordable housing. That's with opportunity to have flourishing businesses, all of that sort of stuff. So we have to put aside, we are only here for a brief point in time, and you know, for me, it's incumbent upon us to do planning that sees a future for them, not just for, well, Raglan has always been this way and it should remain this way. Well, we know it won't. So we either be part of the decision making or we allow it to happen without us inputting into it.
That's why I keep asking about a structure plan or a town plan for the community.
And we heard that, and you know, both Alison and James heard that loud and clear from the community board.
So there's a staff council managers you're talking about.
And you know how they can do it. And it was interesting because Alison said, "Well, this is interesting because I've never heard this before, that you want, you know, the community board saying they want more commercial area, they want more industrial area."
Can we talk about Curry's situation? Because that was said in public. So
and it was said in public, and she said that her where she was working, because Kitty Binnersley is an osteo
chiropractor.
Sorry, Kitty.
Sorry, she can't hear us because she's in Australia.
Yeah, but she may read or listen to the podcast later on. And so she said that her rent went up, was it 47%? And it made it that she just couldn't have a business here in Raglan. So they've got a mortgage, her and her partner, they're young. And so she's working in Australia, and she commutes backwards and forwards when she can.
So it sounds like she's gone there to make a bit more money that she can then settle back here.
So
as a community board member, she was on Zoom.
And, you know, and that's the harsh reality of her circumstances, you know.
Yeah, and that's a microcosm of issues faced. And there's always a little bit of commercial space comes up every now and again. But there's a supply and demand issue. There's an undersupply at the moment in the town, is the way I would describe
it. And its charge is the same as it would be if it was in Hamilton, in a CBD area, in other cities as well. So it's a problem.
Yeah,
you know, it's a challenge. And so looking at other areas for commercial spaces is a discussion that we really need to have. And one of the community board members said, "Oh, well, you know, it's a supply and demand, and it will always be the cost of what it will always be. But will it? Depends on who the people are and what their motivators are, and I guess what, if they own it outright or not, all of those sorts of factors. So, yeah, Whangaroa, we need to have these discussions. You know?
It's a long time since we had an oversupply. So I want to say that was Satnam who said that he didn't seem to like a discussion about finding a way to increase supply and bring prices down. That's my observation of what Satnam was saying. I want to be clear about that. But the rest of the board was look, we need to find a way to do something.
Yeah, and to enable our businesses to thrive. And so we have the diversity and we have that vibrancy that people come to our community for. And we saw that with the arts weekend, it was awesome. I mean, it was crazy, but it was awesome. And personally, what I loved is that I saw so many locals, yourself and Jordan as well.
Yeah.
When Lara and I were walking, were we walking there or were we walking back?
We were walking to River and you were leaving, I think.
We were leaving, that's right.
Yeah.
And just,
because we had to park a long way away.
Well, so did we, and we walked. And so going down to see Hayley Hamilton's work and the other young guy who was down there.
Shorty Dubs.
And that was neat, meeting him and seeing Hayley.
And several other artists.
And I
haven't been in there for a while, so it was a revelation for me.
Rivet also had artists and that there, and it was just fantastic. And just seeing all the locals as well as visitors, and Sarah Bing, and having a good corridor or a brief corridor with people, then going down to the wharf, which was manic, and there are things that probably needed addressing there.
I didn't try that.
But just seeing, Alan Nicholson from Kaffir Oysters there, you know, he's a
because they had that on the wharf as well.
The Oyster Festival, but also seeing lots of locals just sitting out there getting their fish and chips and things like that.
You know,
so it wasn't just visitors, it was a whole variety of people. And it was lovely seeing whānau and being able to catch up with, our whānau down there. It was neat to see, actually. And then going up to our Salai's whare just up the road here and meeting locals who were coming. It was so awesome. Then going out to the Waikere sculpture park.
That was awesome. And that's still going, folks, too, if you didn't get to see it. On the weekends, it's about 500 metres past Soulscape.
They've got
a little sculpture trail there, and it's spectacular. There's about 10 different artists on it, which I didn't know it was going to be,
even though
I interviewed them.
Yeah, but I just thought it was going to be Ty and Lucretia. So they did a fantastic job, and it was lovely to sit there with Ty and have a kōrero and with the others and meet the other artists. So
I did want to bring this up because I felt like I know that the various members of the board have different opinions about this, but I didn't feel like the board was terribly supportive of the Raglan Arts Weekend at the community board meeting. And I know that's not directed at you personally because you were, but yeah.
We are a diverse group, but I think I hope that the board, but we, you know, that the board saw the amazing benefits that the Arts Weekend brings, and you know, certainly with the coordinator when she came in.
Nikki. Yep.
When she was able to speak to her application for funding, because I was sceptical at first because the arts we regularly funded them. And when she spoke to it, it was fantastic. And, you know, going and participating on the weekend, it brings so much to the wider community in terms of the town was buzzing. We were celebrating the diversity of artists in our community. And they weren't just in Raglan based. You know, there were ones out at Te Mata, and as you rightly pointed out, the sculpture park at Waikiri at Manu Bay.
She was on top of that. And she was like, she's doing a really good job. And I know that
she's got a vision of how to extend that and to, you know, bring in not only more people but to lessen the load on one weekend as well for that.
Yeah, so yeah, they've got a good vision for that. But what I wanted to say was, like, she'll be on a community wage like I am, so I know that she's not earning much. I'm sure she's doing lots of hours for free.
You can't do an event like that, and I've seen similar with Jacqueline Anderson, who's our manager for the Destination Management Organisation, how much work people like her and Nikki put into ensuring that we have events or activities that are happening in our community is phenomenal, actually.
Yeah, and I want to shout out to the sponsors. Sponsors and advertisers often get a negative kind of, there's a negative vibe around that, but they're so important to this. And I actually think the whole, not just the community board, but the whole community needs to support Raglan Arts Weekend, certainly the business community. I would like to see them offer more support, not just a few isolated businesses,
because
the benefit they bring is huge. They're bringing quite well off people to the town. They've got money to spend.
But they're not only bringing visitors, they're bringing locals back into town. People are buying food.
And the vibe is great.
Out. Yeah, people are doing so many things. People are shopping. They are, they're engaging. They're creating an atmosphere in our town.
That's the thing. It's not just commercial. Like the, it's an inspiring vibe. The Arts Weekend, when you go and look at the art. So
it was awesome. And I know, and the artists themselves, you know, that's a massive undertaking for them before, during, and after. So
yeah.
I'm sure that they will all be elated but exhausted as well as Nikki. So well done to the artists, to the organisers, and a big mihi to the sponsors. You're absolutely right. And in a way, you know, businesses in the CBD, you know, through the Arts Weekend or through actually events that happen in our community, organised behind the scenes by whomever, brings that income back into the community, whether it's through retail, whether it's going to our cafes or to the galleries, and through just by the virtue of being on the main street or a business, you're flourishing because of it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we had that discussion in the middle of one about planning for Raglan, or about housing, and the other thing I wanted to bring up about housing is this is a district-wide thing. In fact, it doesn't really affect Raglan, but what is it called? Variation 3 of the district plan? The words Variation 3 will mean nothing to anyone, but what it looks like to me was the old plan that National and Labor a few years ago had come together and said, okay, we're going to allow three-story houses with three different units on your average residential section. And because National pulled out of that before the election, I thought that had died, but it looks like our council has continued with. Is it that plan?
Variation 3. Well, it was actually.
I mean, it's three stories and three units on a section.
And Labor. So we have adopted that for specific communities. So it's Ngārua Waihia, Huntly, Tuakau, Pōkeno, and Horatiu. So that's enabling. So Variation 3 is enabling housing supply. And so in the proposed district plan. And so you're right. It's a 3x3. So three stories effectively, yeah. And smaller, and utilising sections of land, so you can have more housing on there. And my fellow councillors from Marlene Raimati and David White were really concerned about, because David is the Huntly ward councillor, and Marlene, I mentioned before, so her community includes Te Kaiwhata, not that that is in her community, but she's seen development at Lakeside at Te Kaiwhata with really small housing that's really boxed together, and they raise concerns about, and we've put this Variation 3 in places that there is high poverty. So with the smaller houses, people crammed in, no green spaces particularly, and you mentioned where Jordan is at university, the 3x3s that are in there, they're really close together.
Yeah, folks, go for a drive around.
They're not dynamic places, and so there are concerns from fellow councillors. I can see the benefit of it as well, if they're built in such a way that they are like, have terraces, they've got balconies.
Well, if you go for a drive around the university, that's not what you see. Yeah. You see these funny things banged in together. And
they're cheap.
From my daughter's lounge, you could look across the window into the neighbour's lounge, which is about 3 metres away. And, you just couldn't sit there all looking at each other. There's a real purpose behind this.
There is a real purpose
to facilitate houses.
But the responsibility is then on whoever's going to do that, to do it in such a way that it's conducive to healthy living.
And
healthy
living meaning, this was cheap. This is a cheap construction.
Healthy living is where you've got some green space, where you have a balcony, where you're not looking into your neighbour's lounge, all of those sorts of things. So if it's done well, I think it will be good, because it does allow that mechanism to have, I guess, more city type of dwelling in these communities, but it has to be done well.
Yeah, and it's
and it
what
has
I'm
to be
is,
at the centre, it has to be the purpose around people and providing those opportunities to live well.
Yeah, it's what I'm seeing is it amounts to poor urban design. There's like these buildings with three houses in them still have the 1.5 meter gap to the fence, and on the other side there's another 1.5 meter gap, and we're at the point when if we're doing this three-story buildings that we should be doing terrace housing. So you use up that 3 meters and you focus on pull that piece of land around it to where it can actually be useful. So, and I don't see, certainly in Hamilton, there's not a lot of requirement clearly to think about those issues. It's just like, now you can put this on and it can be this big, so you fill up the building envelope and you make some money out of it and you build it cheap. And her flat was cheap. It's only a few years old and there are already problems I could see developing. I mean, this is, I used to have a background in building, so I'd, I do kind of know what I'm talking about with that. I was unimpressed with the quality of the building.
Yeah, and so I'm looking at the Huntley fact sheet. So with that, offering, you know, that diverse range of housing options, so up to three homes, each up to three stories tall, can be built on suitable land. So, you know, the resource consent and all of those things that you have to meet. And also for Huntley, there'll be a new commercial area being planned that will allow buildings of up to six stories with proper approvals. So the focus for Waikato District Council is on responsible development that meets community needs while respecting, you know, the context of the local heritage and the community itself.
So this draft section of the plan, this section of the plan hasn't been drafted yet?
Well, the background.
This is the background, like the ideas, the principles.
This is it because it's been adopted. So this is it. It's not. Oh, okay. It's not.
I didn't see that. I didn't know that was happening somehow.
Yeah. So this is. We have adopted the variation three, and then the district. So the district council is moving forward with the variation three, in the proposed Waikato district plan, and the change includes new rules for building homes that follow the medium density residential standards, helping Waikato District Council meet requirements set by the Resource Management Act and align with National Urban Development Policy. So there's in October we accepted the bulk of the recommendations because there was an independent hearing panel that heard you know, the submissions about variation three, and so there are two specific zoning areas for properties that are still in train, I guess, and they're in Ngārua Wāhia. So that, you know, so
just to say for listeners, this does not affect us here in Raglan.
Yeah, it doesn't affect us, but as I said, it's for Huntley, Ngārua Wāhia, Pōkeno, and the communities that I mentioned before. So it's.
But we do need to think about how we're going to supply affordable housing in our community in smaller section sizes or terrace housing or going up. You know, like these are
things. And people have been opposed to that in the past, but it depends on where that is. You know, do you do it where you're not in the areas where people are blocked by?
Yeah, well, you put it out of sight.
So is it the corridor coming into town, you know, the main road? I don't know.
John Lawson for years has been suggesting that tall buildings can go in round by the wharf because they would not be visible to the rest of the community from there. That's an idea. Yeah. And he's fairly strict about wanting nice urban space. So I think if John's come up with that idea, it's a suggestion
and
that
those
should
are
be looked at.
But you can go on, there is a media release on Waikato District Council's website around the variation three for more information on that as well.
Okay. Can we go through a couple of things really quick?
Yep, sure.
Because we've been here for a while. The alcohol ban area in Raglan.
As part of the alcohol bylaw.
Yeah, so has that been extended or something?
That has been extended to the more of the CBD area and down to the wharf.
So it didn't used to go down to the wharf?
No, it didn't go down to the wharf. So if you have a look on that map, and folks, just
not that map.
As a reminder, please, this is only on public land. So that i.e. means on the footpath, it's not in your backyard or your front yard, anything like that. So it is. Do you want me to have a look at it?
It says, well, I've got the words here, extending the seasonal alcohol ban period for Raglan District from 23rd of December to 6th of January to 23rd of December to the 10th of February. So a whole nother five weeks.
Yeah, so that covers that whole really busy period, including Waitangi Day.
Okay, and expanding the permanent alcohol ban area in town. Well, I haven't got a map to look at myself right now.
So it is the sort of the CBD area, including down to the wharf, James Street, and I asked for John Street to be included for the Aroaro area there.
Oh, yeah, and where it's people just camp out.
Yep, and then I think it's to the top of Bow Street from the top of my head, along and then down to really to the Wainui Bridge. So Okay, off the top of my head, off memory, but there is a map, and that's still open for submissions as well.
Okay, we need to follow that up. The water tower progress, can we make an announcement about that?
Yes, we can, because it's actually out in the local rags, so there's an article in there. And Theo, who was the successful artist out of the 17 that put in their expressions of interest, Theo Araj was the artist that was chosen by the independent panel.
Okay.
And the destination management organisation, of which I'm on the committee, we've been in the background, and Jacqueline Anderson actually has been our amazing coordinator of that. So yesterday we met on site, and Matua Sean and Angeline and Cheryl Tukiri, alongside Fire Tilly Turner, who's our Māori board councillor for this area, and others, including Jean Carbon, Pipiri, who was one of our rangatahi panellists, was there, and others, to have a karakia, to bless and put in the context of, you know, the beautiful taonga that was the water tower work that had been on the water tower for the decades that we've known it to be there, and really acknowledging that work and those artists and the people who were involved previously. So we did a karakia and had some kōrero up there. It was beautiful, actually. And Theo had already started on finishing off the water blasting of the top part of the water tower. And you would have seen this morning on your walk down, perhaps, half of the bottom half has already been undercoated.
I didn't, because I was looking at the shiny new asphalt
on
the steep part of Bow Street. I actually didn't even look at the water tower.
Yeah, no, so since yesterday he has completed the bottom half of undercoating.
Normally I would look at the tower on the way past, but I'll look at it on the way home.
Yeah, so Theo has done that. So that's really exciting. And we'll be having a community day up there. I can't remember the day that we're having that, but we'll be having a sausage sizzle, and there are opportunities to actually meet Theo and go up and say hi. He's going to be busy. Toot your horn, give him some support, and, he lives here locally with his partner. And yeah.
Cool. All right. Thank you for coming in, Lisa.
That's a pleasure. Hey, and good luck for tonight, for the 30-year celebration of, Raglan Radio.
Mm.
And that's no mean feat, Aaron. So well done to you and your team for continuing
I haven't been here the whole 30 years.
No, but, and those, want to acknowledge those who have passed and who have been part of that journey of the 30 years. So well done, you guys.
Yeah. So that's tonight, folks. I'll mention it now since Lisa's brought it up. At the Yard, get your tickets at Humanitix, or you can actually door sales. I haven't mentioned that, but we can get door sales.
Awesome. And also good luck to the Freedom to Fly event that's on this weekend, that's kicking off tonight.
Already started. I went to a thing last night.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, it already started last night, so I'm behind the times, but there's the Busking Festival on Sunday as well. And the Hauora for Health Walk, the Hikoi for Hauora is also happening on Sunday. Starting off at the Yard
at 10.
10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So so much going on, community, get in behind our community. Awesome community-initiated events. Anyway, have a fabulous weekend, Aaron, and so too to the community.
Thank you for coming in, Lisa.